Recording live from the Hoban Law Group here in Denver, Colorado. Welcome to the Hoban Minute.
I'm the Hoban Law Group's Steve Shane. Welcome to the Hoban Minute, and this is the Shane Second. Today we have Kikoko co-founder and co-CEO Jennifer Chapin. Jennifer Chapin is one of the most impressive people I've ever met and had the pleasure to work with. And she's launched an industry standard of infused products, Kikoko, which makes infused honey, infused teas, and mints. In addition to achieving success in the company, she's achieved new frontiers, both in the burgeoning cannabis industry and in women-owned enterprises. So we're going to talk to her today, find out, was she born great? Was greatness thrust upon her? Did she achieve greatness? Was it a combination of all three? Jen, have I built you up too much yet? Let's talk for a second.
Yes, you have.
Part of the great things of working with Jen and working with Kikoko is the ease of stuff. You sort of forget when you're doing business, when you're just actually, frankly, feeling like a family. And that's, I think, part of the secret of their success. But I know that you came to cannabis and infused products from the technology, gaming, and food industries. So did this prepare you to launch a cannabis-infused product business, Jen?
Well, firstly, thank you so much, Steve. That is, I'm not sure I'm going to live up to that, but I will try. Thank goodness I've got you here. But it definitely takes a village, and I'm grateful to be part of Kikoko. And just for clarification, I'm a co-CEO.
Okay.
And but just happy to be here, and thank you so much. But you know, it's funny. did my past background prepare me for this? I would say no, nothing prepared me for this. And then also everything in my background has actually prepared me for this. So, it's been a very circuitous road, and, cannabis is definitely one of the most difficult industries I've ever worked in.
You have a certain management style along with your co-CEO, Amanda, of doing things, but I feel that you get the agenda across, but without ever raising your voice. And I don't mean really the sound of your voice. I just feel that you get things across so economically. So you and Amanda are the boss, but tell me about it. What's the best part? What's the worst part?
I don't like the phrase boss, but and I feel like, I historically don't raise my voice a lot. And so if I do raise it either personally, professionally, then it actually has meaning because people know that I'm upset. So, that's something, I'm not sure where that comes from, but, life is short and things are usually, a miscommunication and correctable. So I like the approach of just, figuring out if we can solve the problem together versus getting, pissed off about it. But, I think your question was,
what's the worst part of being the big cheese?
You know, I would say firing people. That is, is just the worst. And we actually had to go through a downsizing with COVID. And that was, probably the worst couple, just a lot of sleepless nights for a month and trying to figure out how we were going to do it. And it was absolutely, bar none, one of the most difficult things I had to do.
What's the best part?
I would say the best part is the people. I love harnessing talent and harnessing the power of a team and seeing things come to life. I love seeing a team come together and making something from nothing. And I think what I've done a lot in my life is I've done a lot of mentoring. And so I love doing mentoring, and I think the company is just a big canvas for that. We've got a lot of young people, and just witnessing their success. So I think one of my biggest joys is setting people up for success and just seeing them take off. So that's one of the things that I think is bar none the best part of the business.
As a bit of a witness to some of the success you've enjoyed just in the time that I've known you, I was not surprised when we talked about this before the call that you had been a Gentile organizer, G-O-M-E-D. And But I don't know that if our listeners are familiar with that, but I always thought that as a sort of a summer camp for adults, but you have that ability to bring people together and get them very enthusiastic. So we're talking about the cannabis industry this week, and we're celebrating the things in the cannabis industry. And, you know, people in cannabis often are rugged individualists. They don't often work in groups because they have a singular vision. But what you and Amanda do is bring everybody together. So spill it. What's the secret sauce, Jennifer? How do you do it? How do you get people to work so well together?
Gosh, I think it's what I said, you know, but just recognizing that it does take a village. I mean, I rarely use the word I or me. It is a we or an us. And I think this, you know, Amanda and I both love galvanizing people around a vision. Because if you've got a big vision, it's going to take a lot of people to execute against that. And, you know, if you need buy-in on that, and you need people to feel like they can add value to that, and that they share your vision, and they can get on the train and contribute to that. And, you know, it's an example of that. Even just last night, there's a new young woman that came on board. It's her second week, and she's been drinking from a fire hose. And she had a big presentation that she had to give last night. She's been doing a big pricing analysis for us. And it was just fantastic to see her nail it, you know. And I think empowering her and giving her the tools and the support and the encouragement, it was just so fun to sit back, not have to be in the driver's seat of that meeting, and let her, you know, just spread her wings and be in the driver's seat. And just it was wonderful to witness. So I think that's something that, you know, Amanda and I, it's not the Amanda and Jen show, it's the Kikoko show. And there's a number of people, you know, we've got an organization, and they all make it happen, and it wouldn't be possible without them. And we definitely, you know, we spend a lot of time recognizing people.
Well, it sounds like from what you said, in my experience, part of your secret sauce is just mentoring. You like doing it, and you get great results. And I just think, again, I use the word great, and I know you think I'm exaggerating, but I think that's part of the greatness is I think you really invest in and get pleasure from other people's success, which leads me to a question I've always wanted to ask you, which is that on your website, which is terrific, if you haven't done so, go to kikoko.com website, because I really think it's very original, it's content. But among the greatest originality is, you know where I'm going, the 6 unbreakable rules of doing business of your company. And what caught my attention when I first met with you was rule number 1, which, you know, my grasp of Latin's a little weak, but I believe it's no assholes. So can you tell me a little bit about this policy? How, and again, just it's interesting, but why is it number 1? Does it have an impact on how your relationship with employees, vendors, and stuff like that?
Thank you very much. Great question. And yes, that is rule number 1. We have 6 unbreakable rules, and rule number 1 is no assholes. When Amanda and I started thinking about forming this company, and I have one of the best business partners in the world, I call her my better half. We've been friends for 25 plus years, and we're yin and yang, and she's just fantastic. And we had started a nonprofit together, so we really knew how to work together. But when we were starting this company and thinking about Kikoko, you know, we've got to work for a living. And one of the things that we kept asking ourselves was, what kind of work environment do we want to work in, and what kind of place do we want to create, you know, for ourselves and for others? And we, you know, really early on in the first year of business, we spent a lot of time. We spent about a year just thinking about, you know, our vision and values, and building a really strong foundation and thinking about what our North Star is. And we felt like, okay, rules, you know, sort of operating principles and rules are good, because it sets some boundaries in terms of what, you know, your expectations are and how you expect to see people handle themselves and yourself yourselves included, and then holding people accountable. So, you know, we've all encountered the assholes. So, you know, that's just something we really have zero tolerance for. And what that really means is just, you know, treating people with a tremendous amount of respect and dignity and listening. And so there's, you know, there's a lot that goes into that. But yeah, I think that we had our, man and I both had our fair share of working with assholes, and we just said, okay, if somebody's an asshole and doesn't treat somebody with respect and dignity and give them the benefit of the doubt, that's just somebody that's not going to be part of our organization, nor is it somebody we want to even work with, you know, necessarily externally. And, you know, we've actually turned down money because we just sort of sniffed an asshole quality that we just, we saw sort of maybe potentially trouble down the line. It's just not worth it. And life's too short, and relationships are incredibly important. So that's rule number one. And we live by it. We've actually have let people go because they broke that rule. And it really helps to, you know, define Kikoko and what we will accept and not accept.
For what that's worth, I think it's terrific on many different levels, because I think you cut through and capture something, and that's really the whole thing. If you say don't be an asshole, really a lot of good stuff follows from that. But by saying that, you have to lead by example too. So what, you kind of have to remain vigilant on what you're doing. I remember, and we've had some interesting, mildly stressful times once or twice along the way, but I remember the most stressed out I've ever been in working with your team is I inadvertently said, hi, guys. And I felt terrible about that because I was the only guy on the phone. I'm like, ah. But in my world, that's, you know, just a general term, but I don't, it made me think, wait a second. Maybe other people don't like being called guys. So made me vigilant on trying to be, I wouldn't say not an asshole, but I might go with less of an asshole or within more of a
range. That would be the least offensive thing if you said that to me, because I think we're also conditioned to say, hey guys, hi guys. So that is not offensive, please.
Right, but also maybe different coming from me, because part of your no asshole policy is no mansplaining. And for what it's worth, I think it's a measure of success. Maybe you just question what you're saying. But in addition to that, to me, part of the defining vision of Kikoko and your extraordinary success and products is Cynthia's Sisters. And I know that you and Amanda put that together. But in my experience, that kind of shapes the vision of what you want to do and the sensitivity. So I only have a basic understanding is that at some level, you're funding and putting a woman through law school in the Democratic Republic of Congo, which apparently has a really atrocious records on violence for women. Can you kind of give us the origin of that and how you integrate that into Kikoko?
Oh, thanks for asking about that. That's near and dear to my heart. And it's something that Amanda and I actually co-founded 7 years ago. And the Democratic Republic of Congo is unfortunately the worst place on earth, or one of them, to be a woman. And women are given very few opportunities. Amanda and I have, most of our lives, we've been very active in different campaigns and activists in general, very involved with women's rights. Amanda sits on the board of Human Rights Watch. I was very involved with Women for Women International and a number of our other organizations. And Amanda was doing, had done a humanitarian trip in the early 2000s to the Democratic Republic of Congo with Human Rights Watch and some other folks, and came across a program that was just getting off the ground, which was to fund girls in law school, but they didn't have any funding for it. It was very aspirational, and there was a woman that funded a couple scholarships. And one of the things that Amanda found on her trip was that she felt the most impactful way to have an impact in the Congo was to fund women in education. And we, after looking at the possibilities with this program, we recognized if we helped to fund young women go to law school there, they would become the future, you know, activists, leaders, lawyers, judges, who knows, maybe, you know, the president someday. And so we felt really strongly about it. If we could help there, and make this work in the Congo, wow, we could make it work anywhere. So from its inception, we've got about 70 girls either in or through law school. Our partner on the ground is ABA Rowley, which stands for American Bar Association Rule of Law Initiative, which is a nonprofit. And we join forces with them to fund the girls, and they help identify them and put them through law school. So it's super exciting. We've got a long ways to go, but we don't spend nearly as much time on it as we'd love to. But that's the hope, is that once Kikoko is just really solid and flying, that we can spend a lot more time with some of these people.
Again, consistent with your theme of effectuating change from within. So that seems like if this goes to plan, some of the graduates that you're funding maybe will get into government, effectuate more democratic, regime there, even more democratic, or perhaps human rights changes that'll make it more.
Let's hope so.
But that kind of leads me to what I've always kind of wondered too, which is that being in the cannabis industry, you got to be a pioneer. But being a woman-founded cannabis-related business has got to present its own parade of horribles and challenges and things to overcome. So if people are listening to this call, they're entrepreneurs or better, they want to do a woman-founded business, what can we take from the history of the success, maybe some of the obstacles you and Amanda have overcome? Anything that we can tell our listeners to help them out or help them persevere?
Yes. Firstly, I would say have a very strong constitution. And I think you have to just inherently have a real love and belief in this plant and feel so passionate about it that, you know, you want to change the world through it in terms of reorienting people's feeling about this plant and destigmatizing it. I mean, that's the thing that initially fired myself and Amanda up, was that we felt like it was a human rights violation that people did not have access to cannabis as medicine, and that particularly given our activist background. And so we really wanted to be a force for good. And that coupled with friends of ours saying that they were looking for alternatives to alcohol and pharmaceuticals, and, you know, could we create efficacious products through cannabis? And that was the other thing that fueled us. So we're, you know, mission driven. And I think that, you know, not only having a strong constitution, but being mission driven is a huge part, I think, for women succeeding in the cannabis business, or anybody for that matter. But I mean, there's going to be so many obstacles in this industry. I mean, you just got to be prepared to play a giant perpetual game of whack-a-mole. And so I think just having that, you know, love for the plant and wanting to be a force for good really needs to carry you through. And I would say, there's going to be so many obstacles, and just be prepared. So hang in there and just put one foot in front of the other and just keep solving the problems as they come.
Well, let's drill down on that. You know, you talk about a love for the plant, which I get, but it also appears that Kikoko loves health and wellness, and they love empowerment too. That would seem like part of the vision.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they all work together. I mean, this is probably as much an empowerment wellness company as anything else. You know, getting people to take back their health. I mean, we really, you know, when you look at the statistics for alcohol addiction and opioid abuse, and we could go on and on and on, depression, the number of people that are, you know, hooked on anxiety medication. I mean, particularly these days with stress being so high, people are looking for alternatives to pharmaceuticals and alcohol. They realize that, you know, they just aren't healthy. And so I think having that, again, being mission driven around creating, you know, alternatives. And, you know, we think of cannabis as a, you know, as another ingredient, a wellness ingredient to help alleviate symptoms of, you know, whether it's stress or pain or anxiety or sleep or libido or mood. And so we've figured out how to, you know, turn it into products that help people. And so at the end of the day, that's, you know, a big part of fueling us is helping people with symptoms.
This can be further explored by visiting your website, which gives a heck of a lot of background on you and Amanda on what the company is doing. But one of the most interesting things, and I think this kind of is an example of what you're talking about, is I think being an entrepreneur, particularly in cannabis, is being a jack of all trades. And if you look on the website, there's an anecdote about how you single-handedly drove a commercial grade truck from Seattle to Berkeley with your first tea machine and called yourself your trucker handle. Can I reveal your trucker handle?
You sure can.
Kikoko Mama. or sorry, Kiko Mama, which I thought was pretty interesting. Okay, so we're going to wind down a little bit here, but now I need you to pull out that crystal ball you're famous for having. Now, I don't think it's a great secret. You're pretty much grounded in Northern California. You're basically in the Bay Area, Berkeley, involved in North California's community politics. But if fortune smiles upon us with this upcoming election, perhaps a shift in the presidential and senatorial composition, we have a greater shot of cannabis perhaps coming off Schedule 1, being descheduled or off-scheduled. Half the cannabis in America is consumed in California, fifth largest economy in the world. So as a beacon of the California cannabis community, what can the rest of the world learn in terms of infused products and sales and what a future holds for us?
Oh God, everybody has a crystal ball, but we think this is going to get descheduled at some point. You know, we think it's going to be legal and federally legal at some point, and you're going to have interstate commerce, you know, available, which is not available now. So I think it's, you know, the future's bright. I don't, you know, do any of us have a crystal ball of when? I don't know, but I don't think it's a question of if. I think it's a question of when.
It would strike me one issue that's going to happen, though, and it's going to happen generally maybe to infused companies almost as good as Kikoko, is that once it's involved in interstate commerce, we might see greater prevalence from the Food and Drug Administration. We're certainly seeing that on hemp-infused products, particularly CBD, that the FDA has issues of labeling and drugs. So at this point, I think that might be a complication that people aren't weighing significantly. But I think, as you know, I could talk to you and I can talk about Kikoko all day, but I know you're busy and you have things to do. So I want to thank you so very much for everything you do. Again, one more time, I find you to be a very inspiring person. You also make a hell of a product. So thank you very much. Give my thanks also to Amanda. And it's just been a pleasure speaking with you about Kikoko and the cannabis industry.
I'm honored, and thank you very much. You're very, very sweet. I look forward to connecting with you sooner than later. So I just want to give a hands up to the Hoban team, and you guys have been a lot of solid for us. So thank you for all that you've done for Kikoko and just being tireless on our behalf. So
okay.
Thank you very much, and you guys
have a
great day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Hoban Minute. Do you have any ideas for episode topics or guests? We would like to hear from you. Reach out to us at media@hoban.law and stay tuned for more on the Hoban Minute.